IVM.
Welcome to Conversations at Takshashila, a podcast for informed opinions on policy, politics, and economics with experts from the Takshashila Institution. And now, on to today's conversation.
Hello and welcome to Conversations at Takshashila. I am Pranay and today I have with me Nitin. And we are going to discuss something in the economic domain today, the after dark economy.
Sounds the nighttime scary, isn't economy. It? It's like the vampire movie. You know, depending on whom you talk to, it could be seen as something to do with vampires. The younger generation will think of it as vampires. And the older generation will say, chair, this is about nightlife, prostitution, drinks and other kinds of crimes and sins.
Yeah, exactly. So let's... the most recent development in this was Future Retail is going to start in partnership with the 7-Eleven stores, 24/7 convenience stores in a few cities in India, isn't it? So what? Why now? What has changed?
No, I'll tell you. First of all, 7-Eleven is a very interesting set of stores. For those of us who... I mean, I studied in Singapore, so we used to have 7-Eleven stores nearby. And they had a logo, a tagline which said, always closed but never closed. Okay. So it was open 24/7. Mm. And students like us, when we would sort of study late, we actually studied late and do projects and all that, we would just walk to a 7-Eleven and have a late night coffee or a snack and buy stuff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we went and studied there.
No, we didn't study there. And for people who could afford it, they could also buy beer, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. Beer also was sold. So the idea was that you would have this 24-hour convenience store. And it was really convenient. Mm. Even as young adults, after I got married also, we would go to a 7-Eleven late at night to have a snack or something. Because, you know, your lifestyle allows it. So... the prospect of a 7-Eleven coming to India was very interesting. Right? Mm. You wonder why didn't we have this at all in the first place? Although in Delhi, there were a few outlets which I saw in that modern convenience store format. Mm. But we never had 24/7 all-night ones. And Kishore Biyani also says that, we will have 7-Eleven in India, but we will try to be 24 hours where we can.
Okay.
Right. Mm. Basically, I think he's acknowledging the reality that Indian cities sleep early.
Mm.
Right? Mm. Indian cities, I think, sleep at 10:30 most places. And then, of course, a few places where restaurants are open up to 1:30 and so on. So there is a sort of a convention or a norm, a social norm that cities should sleep early. And, 10:30 or 11 is when everything should be shut down.
Mm.
Even a petrol bunk in Bangalore, when I tried to fill petrol once late at night, I was surprised that there's no petrol bunk.
Yeah.
The petrol bunk closed at 10:45.
Mm.
And I had to drive all the way to the highway to a Shell station to put to fill up petrol.
Right.
So there is a tradition of sleeping early.
Yeah. But why is this important? Like, from a policy point of view, why should we have 24/7 stores?
I think what is really interesting is, look, the infrastructure is all there, right? The petrol bunk is there, the roads are there, the buildings are there, the electricity lines are there, the telecom lines are there. All of the infrastructure is there, but just that you don't use it at night, right? And if you look at the Indian economy, we are the modern economy is driven by urban economic output.
Mm.
And our cities are not running 24/7. It's almost like you have a aircraft which you keep it on the ground for 8 hours a day, right? And anybody who runs an airline knows that you only make money when the airline is in the air. So you have an engine of growth called the city.
Mm.
And you don't run the city for all it is. And it's not like we are very wonderfully well endowed that we don't need to grow.
Yeah.
And, we need growth. We need jobs. And as an engine of growth, cities are very important. But we are keeping the cities closed at night, right? In fact, by 9:30, 10 in most places, it's shattered. So I think there is an economic imperative to keep the cities awake at night, to keep the lights on have a 24-hour economy so that... economic activity can extend. If you look at economic reasoning, it doesn't mean that when you start a 24-hour economy, everybody will work 24 hours, right? It's like this Pani Puri Gadi fellow who now has to go home at 11:30 can now go home at 12:30 or at 1. So he gets 1.5 to 2 hours of extra, right? And some clinic might decide that we'll keep a night shift, right? So on and so forth. It's not necessary that everything will immediately become 24/7, other than 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody will have an incentive and an ability to work a little later.
Right. So, and maybe some of these places will employ more shifts, more people in more shifts. So, they basically more jobs and the economy spread over the entire 24 hours, or at least more than what it is currently.
Yeah.
It will also have some benefits in terms of, say, traffic and congestion sort of second order effects.
Yeah. So true. So what happens is, I mean, typical economic analysis, right? Some part of the demand at night will be the demand which is substituted, right? So you would have gone to a grocery store on a Sunday, on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Now, in traffic, right? Now, you decide that why do I want to waste my Saturday? I'll sleep late. Instead of doing grocery shopping on a Saturday morning, I'll do grocery shopping at 1 a.m. on a weeknight. So, again, in Singapore, people would go to Mustafa Center at 2 a.m. once it started opening 24 hours, right? So, instead of going on a Saturday when it's busy. So, this is just substitution. So, there is no additional economic output, but it's just a substitution. But there it does the job of reducing the traffic and congestion during the city, in the city during the peak period. So you will benefit from lower congestion, lower traffic, lower pollution, etc. And that demand shifts to the night. I think the other thing which is more interesting is there are a lot of economic activities which can bloom, so to speak, only at night, right? So a 24-hour convenience store will now release a new economic output, right? If you have a bank which operates at night, if you have a doctor which operate who has a clinic at night, who have a taxi driver who now runs a night shift, or a factory which does a night shift, or as they found out in the city of London, the people who work in the financial services industry work longer, right? So that is the kind of output which would not have happened if you had closed early, right? So all of that takes place, and then that is new economic activity. And then who knows what might be the new business models which will appear at night, right?
Correct, yeah. So what you recently wrote about that in Mint, right? But so in your research, what is stopping that from happening in India at present?
Well, what is stopping that? I think the biggest hurdle is the mindset, right? The conventional mindset somehow looks down on economic activities which happen at night, right? The state system looks at it as economic activities which it cannot support. And society looks at it as largely from the prism of sin and moral, from a moral compass, right? To say that, all the activities which happen at night involved consumption of alcohol, drunk driving, rowdyism, prostitution. So there is always this moral aspect which comes in. And some people also bring in the utilitarian thing that, look, if there is a pub outside my residential area, and they create a lot of noise and it disturbs me, right? So there is a civic utilitarian reason also. So these are the two big reasons.
But even government has banned it, right? Like explicitly in some city, most of the cities there exists a ban that you can't operate beyond a particular time. And Mumbai, I think, tried to reverse
that. Yeah. See, I think the ban is largely because of the law enforcement community, right? The police commissioner, I mean, this is fair for the police commissioner to say that, look, I don't have the resources to make the city safe at night, right?
So, yeah.
But he's looking at it from his current framework, where he says that, look, this is how many, these are how many police people I have. This is how many mobile vans I have. This is how much surveillance I can do. This is how much enforcement I can do. Based on this, I can't ensure that people can be safe after a certain period of time. Also because they do drunk driving and other things, right? So there are other crimes which might happen. So this person says, look, we can't guarantee. And therefore, the civic authorities also, the political authorities also say, look, if security can't be assured, then we can't have any of this. So let's close down, right? Which is actually the wrong way of looking at it, right? The law enforcement mechanism exists. The state exists. To ensure that economic activity, which is, you know, which is your right, your economic freedom can be protected. So I think if we look at it that way, the answer really is to go to the police and say, look, what can we do to ensure that you have enough police, you have enough resources to do policing?
Yeah.
Right. The objection that you have should not be seen as a categorical objection. It should be seen as a conditional objection.
Yeah.
Right. To say that if you give me more police, if you give me more vans, if you give me more streetlights, if you give me more enforcement mechanisms, I will allow it to happen. So in that, I think police are reasonable. I don't think they want to close down for ideological reasons. But I think that argument has to be made, that don't stop activities just because you don't have the capacity to protect it. You know, it's like this old urban myth. It says that why don't you have high-rise buildings in a particular city? It's because the fire brigade does not have ladders that are long enough, right? So the idea is that the fire brigade should have the new ladders, higher ladders. You can't stop high-rises just because your fire brigade does not have ladders. Yeah.
So before discussing those two objections you said, what has been the experience of other countries? I remember you talking about London and they have some night czar and things like that. What has their experiment?
See, I think Western cities, what they found is that in the post-industrial world, right, in the last 20, 25 years, when most of the manufacturing and industrial activities shifted to China and the East, they were left largely with the services economy. And they had large amounts of infrastructure in their central business districts, which was going waste, which was literally decrepit. Nobody was using it. So they were trying to figure out new sources of growth. And one of the things they found is this whole idea of entertainment, lifestyle, culture, you know, the nightlife, significant amount of nightlife. There are museums which open at night. There are cultural shows which happen at night. There are all-night restaurant and restaurant zones which take place. So that it becomes very important as a driver of that economy, right? So Amsterdam, Toronto, London, I think Sydney, many of these post-industrial Western cities realized that they need additional economic activity. But London went much further than all. And I think they were the people who did actually, they have some numbers on this, right? Economic analysis shows that about 6 to 9% of London's entire economic activity happens at night.
London's or UK's?
Like London's. 6 to 9% of the urban economic activity happens at night. And about 1/3 of the workforce of London actually works in the 24/7 economy. And then you would expect that, these are going to be the barmaids and the bartenders and the bouncers and so on. But actually, it's not true. The largest fraction of workforce at night is in the services economy. So I would presume these are the financial services guys. Then there is healthcare, which happens at night. And there is transport. So, and then I think number 3 or number 4 is the food and beverage sector. But IT and all that is also in the top 5. Right? Or top, top 5. So what London found is that a significant fraction of their economy actually extends into the night. And it's not just the nightlife. The nightlife probably is a driver, right? It's vibrant, so it's like it brings people in or it creates the conditions for a vibrant night economy. But the night economy is broader than the nightlife. And I think this is what other cities have also found. Singapore, I think, has realized this 10, 15 years ago when they actually emphasized this aspect of the economy. And most interesting is, I think, China. Because Beijing, in the typical Chinese method, they said, okay, by 2022, half the convenience stores in the city should be 24/7. And from this year, they're going to emphasize urban malls and all of that should be open much longer. Right? So I think there's a worldwide realization that the night economy is important. And it goes beyond just nightlife.
Yeah, so let's now come to the objections in the Indian context. First thing, like you were saying about nightlife, the distinction I draw is that nightlife is different from life at night, right? Nightlife only means, okay, we are talking only about, say, pubs or entertainment. But life at night means how much is your life at night different from your life at day? Can you do the things at your convenience at night as well? Can you go to a gym? Can you buy groceries? So they are two different things, right? And when we are talking about these things, we are talking about life at night, not necessarily nightlife. Correct. And currently, everyone thinks about it in a very constrained way of nightlife.
Correct. Life at night is bigger than nightlife, right? So, and I think there's also a very interesting generational dimension to this. I don't have numbers right now, but I think there is some evidence that the younger people, people who are millennials and even younger people, tend to work and live late at night, beyond midnight and, 2 a.m., that kind of time frame. So generationally also people's, the way they approach the 24-hour cycle is changing. So moving forward, I think this will be more and more common in most parts of the world. And we will also have to, you know, get into the 24/7 economy. Willingly or kicking and screaming is the question.
To the next objection, right, where people are saying that, okay, there will be places, pubs which are, because most of our urban centers are mixed zone economies. So,
especially in India. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do we address that?
Yeah, zoning is absolutely important, right? Careful zoning is important because there is no sense in putting a 24/7 mall right in the middle of a residential district, right? Just the traffic and the noise will kill you. And it should not be done. And we've got a sort of a mixed zoned development in urban. Sometimes this is done willfully. Sometimes it's just emerged out of the chaos, right? It has evolved this way. What I think is the way forward is to identify cities and zones within cities where 24/7 activity can take place, right? So you don't go to a quiet residential area and then say, here's, this also will be 24/7. So make it in the old CBD, like the old business district, and the places where there are no residential areas nearby, you make them 24/7. And I think this will also drive the way development takes place, because if you are a mall and you have a choice between being in a 24/7 area and a only daytime area, you're likely to prefer a 24/7 area. So you would probably drive malls and other businesses into zones, right? And evolve in a slightly different way. And it might be good for the cities to evolve this way.
Right. Yeah. For example, in Bangalore, MG Road, where our office is, after 7:30, it's quite dead. It's actually dangerous. You feel like alone, isolated, because there are no people here. All shops are closed. Only a few pubs would be open.
Yeah, and the infrastructure is all here. Yeah. There's a metro station here. There are good roads here. There's parking space here. But there are no people because there are no business activities.
Even metro closes by 10:30.
Yeah, metro is one thing which you'll have to keep open. Yeah.
So all these things, and there are, of course, other cities which have, say, a sector market or which are slightly away from the residential zones. Those places are good starting points, and then they can look at expanding.
It is doable. You don't have to do, again, the vision which comes into people's mind is 24/7. That means all cities will be open, in all places in all cities will be open 24/7 from tomorrow morning. You know, that's a very zero or one approach. I think you can do it very carefully in certain neighborhoods. For certain, you don't even have to go all night at one go, right? You could say, oh, from 1:30 now we're extending the hours up to 4 a.m. And then once you're comfortable with 4 a.m., then you can go up to 6 a.m. And then, you know, so it's not necessary that you do all of this at one go.
Actually, we were discussing this, the fact that police will obviously say that this is not possible and they are going to say it's tough. How will we provide security for it?
So policing is absolutely, you have to raise, right? Now, but what I like about policing is that it adds jobs, right? We are trying to create jobs. The whole idea is that you want to create jobs. So when you want to do policing at night, you hire more police. And we know, for example, in this country that we need more police, right? Even our daytime police strength is below what we need. So the nighttime, when you add up, at least you now have a reason to employ sufficient amount of police to keep basic law and order in check, right? The second thing is street lights, which is extremely important, right? You need good urban lighting for safety. And now you would need that good urban lighting for safety, even if you don't have a 24/7 economy.
Right.
I mean, we have places which are main roads in our big cities, even in Bangalore, where there are no street lights.
Yeah.
We call it a ring road and outer ring road, inner ring road. There are no street lights, right? Main thoroughfares.
Even when there are street lights, they are like either alternate switched on or they are switched on in some zones because they want to save electricity.
Yeah.
That's not the purpose of the street lighting.
Exactly. So it's, you know, you need a more serious approach to street lighting, to public transport. Now, we were just talking about the metro. You can keep the metro open up till late in night. Right? 10:30 is way too early for a metro to shut down. You would probably have to go up to 2 a.m. You know, every metro system needs to give a certain number of hours for for daily repair and maintenance. But that can be done, that can be done in a few hours. Yeah. And you do it properly, you can plan it properly and do it in a few hours. So, good public transport, buses, right? Taxis. Now, these are again jobs. So, I don't see any part of your necessary conditions which are undesirable, right? We need more streetlights. which means more jobs.
Yeah.
We need more police, which means more jobs. We need more bus drivers, which means more jobs. We need more metro to work longer, so we need more jobs. So every part of this is, you know, government and consumption and investment, all of this is going up because of the night economy.
But I guess the main objection only is this a chicken and egg problem, right? What starts first? Because unless you have safety, you won't have some of these shops opening up. And unless you have shops opening up, there won't be safety. So how
in this case, it's not a chicken and egg at all. I think it has to start with government.
Hmm.
The government has to permit it and it has to enable it. You can't have a night economy where there is no law and order and, you know, just say that we'll try to do, you know, we'll hire our own private security guards and all that. It's not going to work. You'll need government to provide that minimum level of safety for all people in the city in order for this to take place. And that's such a good thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe anybody would be against the government providing, you know, psychological conditions where people feel safe.
So I hope that one of the parties picks up this as a manifesto item for the urban economy about having 24/7.
Yeah, and people at Takshashila will be able to work until 2 a.m. write policy briefs.
I think we should
to
end
2 a.m. and
we
go
should
to
end
7-Eleven
the podcast here before it gets more dangerous. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
For more such conversations, subscribe to us on your preferred podcasting platform. If you'd like to know more about Takshashila, you can also log on to our website, www.takshashila.org.in, and find out about the public policy courses that we offer, ongoing research projects, latest publications, and much, much more.
Hey, hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week. Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.